Blog Talk Radio.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black, tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. You can't take the sky from me.
Body grows bigger.
Your mind's a flower.
It's great to learn,
cause knowledge is power.
It's Schoolhouse Rockin', the tip of the block of your favorite schoolhouse rock.
I'm just a bill.
Whew, you sure gotta climb a lot of steps to get to this Capitol building here in Washington. Well, I wonder who that sad little scrap of paper is.
I'm just a bill, yes, I'm only a bill, and I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the capital city. It's a long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee, but I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will, but today I am still just a bill.
That was Schoolhouse Rock talking about how a bill becomes a law. It's kind of a throwback. But actually, interestingly, it made an appearance on the floor of the Senate May 21st, 2007. Notice the date. That's before Obama was selected to be POTUS. And Senator Jeff Sessions, Republican from Alabama, was critiquing at that time the proposed immigration reform legislation for 3 hours in front of a giant picture of the Schoolhouse Rock I'm Just a Bill skit. And he said, "This is not what we were taught in grade school, I assure you, and I couldn't agree more. This is not how the process is supposed to work. We should not be asked to trust our colleagues and vote to put a bill on the floor when we do not know that the bill text is even finalized, that the bill has not been drafted by legislative counsel, the bill has not been introduced or even given a bill number, the committee process was skipped and not followed, a Congressional Budget Office score may not have been requested." That was back in 2007, and it's worse today. Your Senate is dysfunctional, your POTUS disregards the law, and the House is run by a wussy rhino. Obama has decided to delay the employer mandate for the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. What an Orwellian name, commonly referred to as Obamacare, although I don't think Obama gives a shit. But he intends to press on with the individual mandate and the contraception mandate. Now, not only is this entire bill illegal in the first place, but now he wants to delay the parts that will cause the Democrats problems for the 2014 midterms. If the law is not respected, according to the federal charter, the U.S. Constitution, by your government, are we a republic anymore? Talk about that tonight. You are live with Tex and Rex, irreverent, relevant, and radioactive conservatism with a bite. I'm your host, Rex, broadcasting to you from the Imperial City. And Tex should be coming along shortly.
And this is Tex. Yes, this is Tex, who is temporarily on mute, broadcasting from Texas. So, yes, PPACA is up and running, but forever delayed because it was never workable in the first place, which is a chief problem that everyone was talking about when it was first being passed. We had to, as everybody recalls, pass the bill in order to find out what's in it. And apparently, Congress has finally learned what's in it, and the president even finally learned what's in it. And they're like, whoa, we can't implement this. So it's not being implemented. Actually, Obamacare is sort of in an interesting, I think, position, which is I don't know what its constituency is anymore. Now, normally when a bill gets passed by Congress, it has some sort of domestic constituency that is supporting it, that's pushing for it because it's going to solve their problem. Usually some industry is behind the bill or some interest group is behind the bill, and so this is going to solve its problem. I can't think of an American industry besides perhaps the healthcare industry and maybe potentially the insurance industry that supports this bill, which would put those industries against every other industry in America. So I just don't think the bill's workable, and I don't think it's going to happen. And if they keep delaying it, I think that means that it's the bill's dead on arrival, that it's just it's unworkable. And there's not going to be a fix. So I'm starting to think that repeal is looking even more likely, because the thing is some sort of massive multi-thousand-page monstrosity that I think is utterly unworkable. Yes, potentially on paper or abstractly, you could go sit down with a group of smart people and figure out how to unwind it by amending it and amend part of it away and replace it with things that would work. But that's almost more work than it would be just to start over from scratch. So if Congress were smart, and they're not, they would repeal it and replace it with something else, which they won't, because Congress is stupid. So there we are.
Yeah, well, I don't know that this thing was ever intended to be workable. I don't think the Republicans have the balls to actually repeal it. But I'm pretty sure that, that they passed it as a law illegally. It was deemed a tax, much to the chagrin of the administration, which argued that it wasn't a tax. And now they're implementing it in phases and delaying certain phases and giving umpteen million exemptions to all their politically connected buddies, but going forward with certain parts of it. And I think the whole thing was designed to collapse so they can see any kind of health care reform that involves any kind of market based portion, which is allegedly what these exchanges are, it doesn't work. So we have to go to a single payer system. That I think was a scam to begin with, because let's keep in mind, this thing was never about healthcare or medical reform or insurance reform. This thing was about control. And there's no difference between this and the Rubio Care bill, what do they call it, immigration reform, or the amnesty bill that they're trying to jam through right now. It's the same thing. And I mean, the bottom line is, are these things legal, meaning, not does Congress get to pass them, but are they legal in the sense of do they comport with the Constitution? And two, is it something that the federal government should even be doing, or that's even desired? And I think that's the discussion. I mean, the simple fact is that the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act was slapped onto an erased, I think, Veterans Affairs Senate bill, and then it was passed. But since SCOTUS determined that it is not legal or constitutional under the Commerce Clause, but it is under the broad, whatever the hell that means, taxing power of the federal government, then it is a tax that makes a revenue bill. And unless a revenue bill originates in the House, it's unconstitutional. So, I agree with you. I think it's unworkable. But, the question is, does the federal government even care these days what is law and what is not law, or just what is it that they have the power to implement irrespective of law? I think that's the focus of the discussion.
Well, and that's an issue with the presidency as well, which is Congress passes laws, they go through the process, they get vetoed and overridden or not, but then they become the law of the land, and the president selectively decides which parts of which laws he likes he will enforce and which parts of which laws he doesn't like he won't enforce. And we've already had this. That's what Richard Nixon was doing. He had impoundment, where, they talk about Congress has the power of the purse, where you can fund or defund this stuff because that's the power of Congress. The presidency has decided that the executive is going to do the following things, and they're going to use this agency in this way or that way based on some executive order, and Congress can just take the money away from that. Okay, so there's no funds for that. Well, the presidency, similarly, under Nixon, decided they had that power too. So Congress has allocated money in order to do X, but you know what? I don't want to do X, and so I'm going to not spend that money. It was called impoundment, which is now illegal based on a bunch of reforms that happened after Nixon resigned, one of which actually included the FISA courts. But there's a whole bunch of things that were passed in order to stop what they felt was the imperial presidency. And now that we're under in the age of Obama, all of this stuff is back to where he's not impounding funds, but he is deciding willy-nilly what laws he will enforce, what laws he won't enforce. And that is another problem.
I don't know that it was that much different with the prior guy.
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, executive orders are really the problem. It's not part of the regular process. The executive order is the president waking up and deciding that, hey, today I'm going to enforce this law and not that one. And that's my opinion, so thought you might like to know.
Well,
not
I will
an executive
argue that,
order. That's sort of it.
And yeah,
what,
no, I will argue
what
that,
recourse
that, that he has some power there. It's not absolute, but
more,
I think that there is some legitimacy.
Some.
Yeah. You're right.
That's the problem. He has more than some, and nobody seems to know what to do about it. Congress doesn't know what to do. Supreme Court doesn't know what to do. Like, well, okay, I guess he could do that. But, you know, Congress was supposed to be the most powerful branch. The problem is that Congress is a bunch of people, and a bunch of people acting together are a bunch of people acting against one another in groups, whereas the president is a person who has a team. And the team's all working to accomplish their ends. And so the presidency is always going to be more focused and be essentially more powerful than Congress is, unless Congress is working in concert to defend the interests of Congress. The problem is half of Congress is on his side, so they don't care.
Well,
his or her side depends on which party is in power.
Well, I'd say that more than half of Congress is on his side, even though the Republicans allegedly control the House, because Boehner's such a pussy, he keeps handing everything Obama wants to him. I mean, Boehner could have put Packett to bed as soon as the gavel came down on the SCOTUS decision that it's a tax. He could have ended it right there. He could have ended it before that by saying, you know, this looks like a revenue bill and didn't originate in my house, so we're killing it. But, you know, he didn't do that because he's a pussy. But the simple fact is that the president...
When a Republican's president, he's got half of Congress, too. So when Bush is president, half of Congress is like, yeah, that's fine. We don't care that you're using the executive order to override us. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. They don't care because they're in power, and then when they lose power, then they just use it to bitch so that we think that they're actually doing something about it, when in fact they're just saying, well, you know, we'll get the power back, so until then we'll just complain about it, but we won't actually take it away because then we won't have it when we get our guy back in there. But, you know, I would argue that the president does have some power. I mean, for example, the veto pen, that's a very powerful thing. And you're right, he's focused and singular, and his team is working in concert as opposed to in Congress where you have, you know, caucuses within the factions. But, you know, presidents should have the authority to disregard congressional bills if, in fact, those bills are unconstitutional. But that would have to involve the Supreme Court, which doesn't determine it's not the supreme lawgiver of the land. They're not to make law. They are merely to interpret it and check it against constitutionality. But I would argue that the most powerful branch in government as designed, not as it works, is not even in the imperial city. The most powerful branch in government is supposed to be your state house, your state legislature, and your governor. And until you get that check back in place, this is the kind of insanity that's going to go on. And, Tex, speaking of insanity, we are joined by somebody who walks around with a club. Chris, you're live with Tex and Rex.
Gentlemen. And Merman. what I was thinking about listening to you guys talk, I was almost booking a ticket for Panama. Or Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Oh,
you might
my
be more
God.
Free.
I'm serious. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's insane. No,
but, and what amazes me is how few people, even after 4.5 years of this guy and the primary and the 2010 election, which was a huge event, if people really understood what was going on and wasn't about teabags. But, you know, when you look at this, I just don't think a lot of people on the right really understand what's going on. I really don't. Because I think the left totally does. Give me more. We want power. and we're socialists, and a few of us are Marxists. They're pretty unified almost every day. But the people on the right, you know, they're attacking and eating their own, you know, and they don't get it. I mean, when I look at Rove, I'm thinking, why in the hell is he still on Fox? You know, the guy just pissed away the election and pushed Romney down our throat, which was a guaranteed loss, and then here we sit. And then when somebody like Cruz or Rand or Amash or, you know, whoever gets up and fights for what we hired them to do, then they get attacked by our party. Hell, you don't even have to worry about mainstream media. Just let the Republicans attack them.
Wacko birds, right? Wacko birds. Well, keep in mind that Rove's 2012 monster passed Obamacare before Obama was even
president. It was the biggest joke. People have no clue. I cannot fathom that guy ever thought he could run. I mean, they did pretty good, you know, getting him as far as they did. You know, I think he never got above, what, 32% or something like that. But, you know,
money will buy a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He won't buy victory, though.
No, absolutely not. But anybody who looks at the Massachusetts law or Romney Care, how can you not understand that this guy cannot run against Obama? That was the biggest sell job in the face of the earth. Obamacare wasn't a sell job.
I mean, just looking back retrospectively, nobody thought that Romney was going to win. What they thought was that Romney would be so moderate that all these people in the Senate would be able to run on his moderate coattails, and they would get into the Senate. And they thought, well, at least we'll get the House and the Senate, and then we can fix things that way, or we can govern that way. So Romney was never supposed to get the presidency. He was supposed to get the Senate for the Republicans, and he did.
Yeah. Of course not.
Well,
he had no chance.
Strategy. That was a stupid strategy.
What he did and what Rove did was kill the Republican Party, because the Republican brand is pretty close to dead, as far as I can tell, with every Republican
I
know.
It's dead, Jim.
Nobody likes it.
It's dead, Jim.
Yeah. It's dead, Jim. It's pretty much gone. I mean, I don't know anybody. You know, the Democrats are just dancing on the grave of the Republican Party. And you know what? You know, maybe I could do a couple steps on top of that thing, too, because in the latter days, the party really sucked. So, you know, I got to go back to Life of Brian. One total catastrophe like this is just the sort of thing that we need to get re-inspired and put things back together again, and whether it's the Republican Party or something else, I don't know. But, you know, I'm sort of happy that it's a complete catastrophe, because it's time to rebuild, because what we had before was no good.
No, it was what was happening was we were drifting further left than the Democrats were 30 years ago. Even before that to some degree with first Bush. But the fact is that at the federal level, because of the way that they've rigged the game, you only got two players, the Republicans and the Democrats. And like, you know, Chris said, the Democrats are Marxists and socialists, so that's a done deal. At least in the Republican Party, there are actually some conservatives, not nearly enough. But the real question is, until you can break that duopoly at the state level and until you can build a national organization, the next POTUS will be either a Democrat or a Republican. And if you let the Republican Party remain dead for the next 40 years, with 40 million new illegal aliens suddenly voting, you'll have Democratic presidents and Democratic Congresses for the next 40 years, and it's game over. So I think that the dead Republican Party needs to be resuscitated so that people like Justin Amash, Trey Gowdy, Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Mike Lee can multiply, get a force multiplier, and actually start doing some conservative things. Let's knock out some housekeeping real quick. Call in number, folks, is 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013. We'll be opening up the mics in the second hour. If you are right now listening to us live or even in archive, right below the show graphic is a button that says follow. If you click on that button, you will get notifications in your Blog Talk radio profile and affiliated email as to when we are broadcasting, which is generally Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, and right below the scrolling graphics across the show, there is a download link. If you right-click on that, you can download an MP3. You can listen to it on an MP3-enabled device. You can send an email, burn a CD, give it to somebody. please get the word out. What we were trying to do is reestablish conservatism on the national stage. We are trying to make the Republican Party conservative again, and we are trying to get the ballots opened up at the local level so that constitutionalism can thrive again. If you see our show on Facebook or Twitter, please share it, retweet, get the word out. You are the only means by which this show grows and which this show spreads. And if you want to gain constitutionalists back in Congress in the 2014 midterms, you'd better get people involved and informed now. Rank-and-file Republicans who merely go vote the party ticket, libertarians, whether they're in the party or just libertarian-minded, conservatarians, and even some principled liberals who might realize that their party has no liberal agenda whatsoever. They are not strong on civil rights or anything else. It's just the same corporatist crap you're getting from the Republicans, so you could get them inspired too, especially over things like drones, foreign policy, and all that crap. Also on Facebook, if you're there, check us out, the Tex and Rex Show on Facebook. Like the page. You'll get notifications in your news feed at broadcast times and other things that we're working on. And consider joining Tex and Rex's Liberty Militia. That's where we keep clips, articles, and related topics posted for your viewing. And Chris has a great group building coalitions across a broad spectrum to really get a working group for 2014, and that's, I believe, Coalition of Freedom 2, Chris?
Yeah, it's 2 for now, but by tomorrow it'll be back to Coalition of Freedom.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, we've had some technical difficulties, so we're on our third or fourth platform. Gotta love Facebook.
Yeah, well, CIA Facebook sucks, but, you know, it is a useful tool. Instead of just posting crap and sharing news and conspiracy theories of the day, we need to focus on some real things. Today, we are focusing on this Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, this so-called Obamacare delay of the employer mandate, which is an opportunity for Republicans not only as a political tool, but actually an opportunity to get rid of this unconstitutional monstrosity that will destroy 17% of our economy when it comes fully online and probably kill several million people. So there is an opportunity to make this happen, but nothing happens unless you make it happen. Don't rely on your congressional critters, even the good ones. They need to be supported or derided, depending on their position on issues. And, you know, that works by emailing, Facebooking, tweeting, calling, writing letters, going to their offices, just hammer them and get other people to do it and let them know that if they're not involved now, all the little cushy things that they think are all copacetic right now, it's going to fall apart. It's going to fall apart pretty damn quick. What's going on here, just to bring everybody up to speed, is implementing this monstrosity has been more than difficult. I think it's by design, but either way, the first thing that they jettisoned, if I'm not mistaken, was the CLASS Act, which was supposed to be the long-term care provision of the act, and they deemed that there was just no way it could be affordable. So they ditched that. Then they started giving waivers because unions were getting pissed and states were starting to nullify and they were getting lawsuits and all this kind of stuff. Now they're realizing that small businesses are retaliating because they can't afford this ridiculous cost by cutting people's work weeks back from 40 to 30, by not hiring their 50th employee. And since small business drives the job market, they can't afford to have unemployment actually go up, and it's actually closer to 20%, but nevertheless, they can't actually afford to have that go up to give them trouble in 2014 and give the Republicans ammunition to beat the crap out of Democrats when they go back home. So they decided to delay it. But what they did not delay is coming August 1st, the contraception mandate that will force religious institutions and religiously minded people to violate their conscience in order to offer this through their insurance. So there goes your First Amendment, the free exercise thereof of your religious rights. And they're going forward with the individual mandate, which means even though they're not going to hammer people, you know, employers from providing so-called health insurance, they are taxing individual Americans for a non-activity. If you do not buy insurance from the companies that they've told you to buy it from, then you will get taxed. And they've hired 16,000 armed IRS agents to make sure that you pay this tax or that you buy health insurance. That's very interesting given what the hell just happened with the scandals and with Lois Lerner and the Fifth Amendment, you know, the pleading the Fifth and all that kind of stuff. So that's where we are. And the question you have to ask yourself is, does this matter to you? Does the government get to do whatever the hell it wants, or are there limitations on it? Do you agree with that assessment?
I have a quick question for you. Is Obama going to have Morsi run with him in 2014 for the midterms?
I don't think Obama's running in 2014 midterms, but
no,
he certainly has his nose.
No.
He has his nose up, Morsi. You know what?
Sorry, I just had to throw that in there. Sorry.
That's
true.
We're
all serious and shit.
Well, you know, it's absolutely true. Actually, here, why don't we do this? Why don't we come back on the other side? We'll start with Tex and then go to Chris. But I do believe that we've got somebody else who doesn't like the PACA bill, and he did a pretty good job dismantling it a few weeks ago. You might know him as the junior senator from Kentucky. It's about 2 minutes long on the other side of this. We'll go to Tex and then Chris.
With regard to, anybody in here a big fan of Obamacare? I figured that wasn't. You know, here's the thing is that the president just wants to take care of you. He just doesn't think you're able to do it for yourself. And so does anybody in here feel comforted that the new IRS agent in charge of your medical records will be the same agent who's in charge of targeting the Tea Party? I think really there's going to be such a level of distrust, such a level of feeling that how will they ever cross that barrier again? I think there's going to have to be some kind of independent commission. I don't see any way the president can gain back trust. And for goodness sake, somebody's got to be fired. If not, go to prison. The president doesn't think you're smart enough to take care of you, so he's got Obamacare, and I want to tell you how he's going to take care of you. They used to have 18,000 medical codes. I'm a physician. When you come in to see me, I mark down a code, and that's how it gets billed through these numbers. So it's 18,000. Obama's going to make you healthier. There's going to be 140,000 codes. Included among these codes will be 312 new codes for injuries sustained by animals. Among these codes will be 72 new codes from injuries sustained from birds, including 9 new codes for injuries sustained by the macaw. I've been in practice 20 years. I've never seen a macaw injury, but I am waiting to see that. There will be 2 new codes, and this is to keep you safe and to keep you healthy, 2 new codes for injuries sustained by turtles. And you ask yourself, why would there have to be 2? Because the government needs to know whether you were bitten or struck by a turtle. Just trying to take care of you because you can't do it for yourself.
Now, that was a little humorous, but it just shows you how ridiculous these federal idiots are. And most of these so-called senators and congressmen haven't read these things. It's just rules and regs drafted up by the lifer bureaucrats appointed by POTUS. In this case, the bill, 3,000-some pages, was self-referential and often just deferred making any specific ruling or regulation to the Secretary of HHS, which is currently Catherine Twitchy Bitch Sebelius. So, you know, basically these are laws that are screwing up your life that aren't even passed by your legislators, which is fascinating. And real quick before I go to Tex, you brought up Morsi earlier. Apparently a bomb just killed 4 people in northern Sinai, so yeah, I'm glad to see the Egyptians got their shit together. All right, Tex, we're going to you for comments about what Rand said and this whole PACA thing and the hell they're going to do about it.
Excellent. Yeah, well, I mean, that's really the problem is that it's over legislation. It's regulation of absolutely everything in the economy. You know, now they're talking about injuries sustained by animals. It's a monstrosity, and it's unworkable. Nobody knows what's in the thing, you know, and the government can't legislate every you know, minute detail of the economy. And that's exactly what they tried to do, because they didn't really try to do it. They just let industry do it for them. This was written by the healthcare industry and the hospitals and the insurance industry. That was the purpose of it, was to protect their interests. And now it has to be implemented. And what I think everybody's finding out is like, wow, the problems you guys are trying to solve with this thing are so freaking big that it's unsolvable. Like, we can't have the taxpayer on the hook for every risk that you have to take as part of your industry. Essentially, this is an attempt to give those industries a carte blanche with respect to risk. Every industry has risk. You have to accept risk no matter what industry you're in. So recently there was a train explosion in northern Canada. It turns out that was criminal sabotage. But even if it had not been, that industry, okay, well, you know, we're transporting around flammable liquids, and something bad has happened, and now there's a massive risk that we have to assume. Okay, well, that's part of the operating cost, the cost of doing business of your industry. And you have to assume those costs. And what they decided is, well, our costs are too high, and we don't want to assume these costs anymore, so we're going to pass them on to the taxpayer, which is the ultimate, you know, bearer of responsibility in our economy. And that's why everybody feels like they don't have any money, because you know what? At the tail end of every industry, we're on the hook for everything. When the government can't balance the budget, we're on the hook for that too. So Obamacare is unworkable. It's a stupid law. They found out it's a stupid law, and it's so stupid it can't exist in reality. It exists in this fantasy world of Democrats' minds and heads and all the people who are big-time supporters of it, just going to give them free health care and free ice cream and all this other wonderful stuff that no nation can afford. And what they've realized is no nation can afford this. And, by the way, not only is it unaffordable in an economy with unlimited monopoly money. That should give you a sense of how bad a law this is.
Monopoly money? Is that the one with Bernanke's face on it?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think it's spelled fiat, like the car.
Which simply means by decree. It's backed by nothing. It's paper. It's worthless. It's not even paper these days, which actually probably has some value. It's digital bits and bytes. All right, Chris, you want to chime in on this crap?
I was just it's very easy for me to divert right now, and I don't want to mess you guys up, but I was just commenting on a post. I have never understood how it got pushed through, except for the fact they had supermajorities, and Republicans under Bush had basically run our country into the ground and got us into wars all over the world that we didn't need to be in, and, you know, created the war on terror and all this crap, and brought us to the first record of multi-trillion-dollar debt, broke the record for the first time in history, and handed the Congress and the presidency to Obama, the Marxists, and the liberals. Mostly Marxists. And, you know, so it got shoved through. It got shoved through really fast, really hard. You know, a little mousy Harry Reid. He's a pretty slick one. And there it sets. And what used to frustrate the hell out of me, and I don't know if you guys ever went through this process, but I kept saying, why in the hell doesn't one organization like the Heritage or some one of these big think tanks build a website and tear this bill apart and give us one resource to go to, you know, categorize so you can send people there. You can go there yourself and get educated, or send people there when you're arguing the argument about how, such a travesty it was going to be. Nobody would do that, and it just blows me away because I'm an educator and a consultant and that kind of crap. And, you know, it was amazing to me, but when you look at Newt Gingrich and how they won the majority for the first time in 40 years and then re-won it for the first time in, like, 60 years.
68.
Yeah, how he went back. He went to the people and he educated them. Here's what we stand for. This is what we're going to do when we get in Congress. Then when he got there, he continually got in the news. He brought C-SPAN into Congress. Oh, yeah, that was Newt, by the way, people. And he continually did press releases. He updated people on where we were at, what was going on, where the battles were, what was getting done, what was, you know, where they had to make changes or adjustments or compromise or whatever the case may be. And it was a continual education process. Now, what's amazing to me is that for the last
4.5 flipping years, if you aren't good on the internet and plugged into good social media sites, I'm not talking about the gossip ones or the news of the day, but good sites, you don't know what the hell is going on with the Republicans. They don't educate on anything. They don't do anything. But you know what I'm saying? They don't do anything. And so we're left to try to figure out what the plan is. That's why people like Cruz and Rand and Amash and the rest of them, you know, and even Sarah Palin, you know, even when Newt speaks, you know, everybody's like, wow, that was so awesome. And I'm thinking, was it really that awesome? Isn't that just what we hired them to do? You know, to fight.
If the Republicans say what people actually in the party believe for the first time, we're not used to that. Like, oh, my God. There's a Republican that said something that Republicans actually support. This is amazing. This guy is, like, incredible. We're used to Republicans who are like, well, Republicans need to change. They really are the problem, the things that they believe. We really need to go with this stated solution. That's why Republicans are completely disillusioned. That's why
I agree.
The Republican Party.
That's why they got rid of Newt. That's why they got rid of Newt.
Yeah, because
there was the
rhino. They completely demoralized their base and told them to shut the hell up and just vote for whatever rhino we give you, because there's no way you can win believing what you believe. And what they've done is they've demoralized the party, and now there's no way they can win believing what they believe. But you know what? They don't care if they win, because they're a bunch of consultants and lobbyists, and they get paid no matter whether you win or not.
Which
so
goes back to Chris's
victory.
Point. Right, which goes back to Chris's point. Why doesn't one of these big think tanks put out this thing to rip this thing apart? What makes you think that they don't want this thing to go through? It's a very money-making scheme. Whether they implement it in whole or in part or it collapses or whatever, it's a money-making scheme for lobbyists, lawyers, certain preferred industries. I mean, look, without law, okay, without law, meaning without respect for the supreme temporal law of the land, the U.S. Constitution, which has to be enforced by the people, then the government will just be a bastion of power, and the only thing that's going on is people resting for control of that power. But none of them will want to diminish that power, because it's the brass ring that they hope to control, even if for a little while, because they can make a lot of money just being the minority opposition. That's the whole friggin' scam. But good.
This is how consultants make money, right? So a city comes to a consultant. They said, well, you know, we have this historical downtown, and we're trying to get people to shop downtown because we want to revitalize downtown. And so the consultant comes back and they said, oh, I know how you can get people to go to your downtown instead of where the mall is. What you need to do is charge more for parking downtown and remove parking spaces. Because by doing that, people won't be able to hang out at downtown as long, and so you get more turn for sales, right? Because people will go in, they'll be there for a short period of time, they'll buy something and they'll leave. And then the next person who wants to go to your downtown will go in, buy something and leave, right? And they won't hang around and do all this lazy shopping, and that'll get your downtown profitable. Okay, so a year or two goes by, it's like, hey, downtown is less profitable than ever. We need to hire a consultant to figure out how to make our historic downtown area profitable. And the consultant comes in, they said, okay, I got the solution to your problem. Your problem is you're not charging enough for parking and you have too many parking spaces. Take out more parking and charge more for it. Well, what they're doing is they're destroying your downtown, because they know that you're going to come back in 2 years and you're not going to be able to figure out why your downtown is destroyed, and you're going to hire them again. Because if they fix the problem, you don't need their services. Thus, you have the consultants' influence on the Republican Party. So, consultants are saying you got to beat more Romney. Democrats win and Republicans lose, because that happened in the last election. Never mind that this is a 50-50 coin toss as to who wins an election. There's only two real choices, or two major choices, that people make in this election, whether Republican or Democrat. And so if you only have two choices, it's going to be a coin toss who wins and who loses. And Republicans have not been doing bad in presidential elections. You know, depending upon how far you look back, we do pretty good in presidential elections, right? So instead, what they say is not that, hey, your plan works, you just couldn't beat this guy, right, because he had all this, you know, special bag of tricks that, you know, magic pixie dust that nobody else could match, and so just wait it out and continue with your message and you win. What comes out is, oh, you have to change your entire message. Everything is different. Everything has changed. You've got to throw the baby out with the bathwater. You have to destroy this whole thing, burn it down, and turn it into some, you know, you need to go try to copy their brand because that's what people want. People don't want, you know, Pepsi-Cola. They want Coca-Cola, so you got to go be Coca-Cola. Right? Or you got to go be Pepsi-Cola in this case, I guess. You have to go copy their success. But consumers never want the copy. They don't. And that's the problem with what, with the advice that's being given. If you listen to the news these days, as I do, everyone is saying the exact same thing. Everyone in Washington, which is the Republican Party, is in a permanent death spiral. And if they don't pass immigration reform, what people want to see is a Congress that works and then working together in a bipartisan manner. People are asking for that. I don't know these people. You know, I don't know anybody who's asking for that. No, I want Congress not to work. Congress actually lately has passed less bills than they ever have historically. Lately, the current Congress has only passed five bills. That's awesome. I think it's five too many. But, I mean, this is something that really I think should be a new precedent for new Congresses. Quit passing bills. You know, go
when they're like 13,000 pages, if they only pass five, it's still a shitload more code than they've ever passed in prior Congress.
Well, the other issue you have is not necessarily the bills that get passed, but it's all the legislation through the regulations through these different organizations, whether it's the NSA or you know, the IRS or EPA or up your nose or whatever organization they've built. And the sad thing is, and I think this is a part of education that people need to get their head wrapped around, is you have got to go back. Just go to Wikipedia. Look up the EPA and find out where it started. Started under a Republican. You've got a, you know, Department of Education. These things that are destroying our country, our economics, the value of your dollar. You know, you've got to look at where they started. Both sides are part of this problem. And both sides are unconstitutional. They set up this constitution with limits on what these people were supposed to do. Somewhere along the line in the prosperity growth, you know, from the Second World War forward, people quit asking questions. They started expecting the federal government to do more and more and more and more and more. So really, who's to blame here? The people are.
Gimme.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and that's a, you know, Chris, that point is extremely valid because I think this is what people are misunderstanding, and this is why we got this whole gimme, socialist plunder, get the rich guys attitude. People don't understand the fundamental purpose of government in a republic. Republic means under the law. That means everybody from POTUS on down is under the same law. That's not what we live under right now. It's a democracy, which effectively democracy is usually an oligarchy. You just have to control the demos, the people. As long as you can get 51% of the idiots to support your position because you're going to plunder the other guys, then you control it and your oligarchy is in charge. So, you know, again, the problem is not Obama. The problem wasn't Bush. The problem is all of them and the congressional noblemen who are the elite class that gets to dictate everything from the imperial city. It all in a republic, the law flows from the people, not in a democratic chaos popularity contest, but the fact that the laws are comporting with objective natural law that limits and diffuses power, and it is enforced by the people, which is why for a long time the republic had the militia of the several states so that if anybody got out of hand, everybody was armed and everybody was under the ability to enforce the laws, and therefore the federal government tended to not have a standing army, that did not have a central bank. They didn't have all the power to do what they're doing now. But what happens is they get us all hyped up and divided. Take a look at this, you know, Zimmerman thing. It's just creating racial division and dividing people over this issue, which – granted, it is a valid issue, but these kind of cases happen all the time. Why this one? Why did POTUS and AG get involved in this one? It's to create this massive distraction. Look at the news cycle for the last 3 days. It's all been about this while things are blowing up in Egypt and Syria, and we're funneling weapons over there. So until people wake up, and the only way people wake up is you have to wake them up. You've got to reach out to them. You've got to tell them. It's not going to happen. We have to reclaim the power that we have back. It's just that people are uneducated. But there are some who know how it works and they somehow got past the Karl Rove claque and snuck in there. And one of those is Senator Mike Lee. And this is what he said about this frickin' delay of the employer mandate. He said, it's fundamentally unfair to adopt an employer mandate and an individual mandate and say, I'm going to enforce this against hardworking individual Americans, but the government is going to look the other way when it comes to wealthy corporate fat cats. If congressional Democrats want to oppose appropriation bills without additional Obamacare funding, shut down the government. Who said that before? He says, shut down the government and side with the president and big business against the American people. Then it's their choice. But 3 years in, even the president himself has now admitted that Obamacare won't work. The only responsible choice now is to protect the country from Obamacare's looming disaster, start over, and finally begin work on real health care reform. Now, that is a pretty ballsy position. That's the kind of people we need up there to undo. I mean, most of the people you send to Congress now, and in fact even the next president, their mission should not be to legislate anything. It should be to de-legislate. It should be to pass laws that undo what they've done prior to this. You need more people like Mike Lee, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul. You're not going to get them in the Democrat Party. I mean, that's just not going to happen. So I mean, give up that pie-in-the-sky dream. If any of you – I don't know if liberals listen to our show, but if any of you are out there listening, it is this asshole that you put in the White House that's killing people with drones more than Bush. It is this guy who's having the NSA spy on you more than Bush. It is this guy that's supporting corporate interests more than Bush. You hated it when Bush did it. We hated it when Bush did it. Why don't you hate it more now
conflicts.
When he's doing it?
74 yes. conflicts around the world he has our military involved in, and most people don't even know.
Yep.
That's your liberal guy who got the Nobel Peace Prize there, folks. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I just wanted to.
No, he's a corporate shill like the other guy. No, that's a spot on point. I mean, you know, that's it. And the thing to keep in mind, and we're going to talk about this extensively next week. Look, it would be wonderful if the Constitution Party, the Libertarian Party, or God forbid, candidates without a party could actually run for national office in this country. That's how it's supposed to be. But it's not going to happen because the Democrat-Republican duopoly controls every single precinct and all the voting rules at the state level, and they've got those damn electronic machines in there that can be rigged and hacked real easy. So until you dismantle that, you got two choices. The Communist Party, which is called the Democrat Party, and the not as much Communist Party, the Republican Party. The difference with the Communist Light Party is that there are some wacko birds in there who are serious about this, and you've got to support them. But the rules of this party passed in 2012 in Tampa, the Ginsburg rules, will never permit a real conservative grassroots candidate to rise up in this party. Now, that's for president. But we know damn well, and we saw it with the 2012 monster of Rove, if you don't have a strong POTUS at the top of the ticket, it will cost you down ballot seats nationally. So
yep.
If you want to take it back, you're going to have to really change these rules. The next opportunity is the RNC summer meeting, August 14th. We're going to be talking about that extensively next week. In the meantime, if you go to our Facebook page, that's the Tex and Rex Show on Facebook, or you go to Chris's group, Coalition of Freedom on Facebook, there are extensive information about the RNC summer meeting, and you could call. There's only 168 committee members. You can go visit their offices. But you got to convince them to change these rules. If you don't know about the rules and stuff, just tune in next week. We've done a couple of shows on it before. We're going to do another one. But it is a very important topic. So, you know, that's what we have to do. We got to support people. And this is a double-angled initiative. See, we got here because of pressure from above, which is out of constitutional bounds federal government, and pressure from below, which is social chaos and social engineering that has convinced people that in order to be taken care of, and in order to be provided with stuff, they're going to have to vote to get people in power who will take it from somebody else. And it's going to take a long time and probably generations to roll that back. But in the meantime, you've got to attack this at the state and local level by getting things fixed down there to open up these rules and reinstate your militias and take back your precincts and open up the ballot access so that you can actually change things and assert states' authority and nullification. And you're going to have to make sure that you send as many conservatives and constitutionalists as possible at the federal level, like Rand and Ted and Mike.
Can I throw something in here? Just a thought that was rolling through my mind as you were on your roll. And that is,
you know, all these different, when you look at everything that's going on, basically you have the largest percentage of people in I can ever remember that are tapping the federal system to, in some degree or another, whether it's, you know, I don't care what you want to look at student loans, you want to look at, you know, welfare, you want to look at, you know, disability or food stamps or Medicaid, Medicare, whatever the situation is, it is huge and it's killing our economy. But here's the other thing. You've got the largest generation in the history of the world getting ready to retire, and there are, in my opinion, a pretty selfish generation because they've pretty much given us this world that we live in today, and they all want theirs. So you've got that dynamics on top of the fact that you have all these people that are sucking the system dry. They are printing money and borrowing money. It's unheard of what they're doing. It's just pales compared to anything else we've ever dealt with in this country in our past. And there's something coming down the road. You cannot keep doing this. It is amazing to me how many people do not understand economics. They keep thinking this money is there. It's not there. It's fake. And when it all settles in, if anybody who you know, listens to the news, you know, they do this stock market update every day and you just want to puke. But, you know, it's some kind of BS to get people to spend money on, you know, monopoly on fake money. But when you look at Bernanke got up and said, well, you know, we got to start thinking about cutting back on this $85 billion a month that he's printing and buying securities and mortgage-backed securities and stuff like that. And the stock market freaked the hell out. And he like, oh, shit. He put us in this situation where if we don't, it's just like a drug addict. If you don't keep infusing opium into people, you know, they're going to freaking go into DTs and die. It is that bad. And it's not going away. That's just the thing that people don't understand.
And the veins are about to collapse.
Yeah, it's not going to self-correct. We are beyond that. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right. But I'm saying that your drug addict analogy is totally spot on. The veins are about to collapse. So either you DT and try to heal, or your veins are going to collapse. The whole thing's coming to come crashing down. That's inevitable. Now, it might not happen tomorrow. Good, but it might not. It might be 3 years. It might even be 5 years. But it's going to happen. The only way out of it is to restore sound money. That's never going to happen, ever, as long as there's a Federal Reserve and as long as it's feeding this Leviathan federal government. So, you know, get busy. You've got to wake the rest of them up. The simple fact is that there are people trying to fix it. There are more people aware now than ever have been since the last 100 years when all this crap started.
You
really got to understand what law. Yeah, but you got to understand what law is. The supreme law of the land is not whatever POTUS says. It's not whatever Congress passes. It is the Constitution. And it gives very few and specific things for the federal government to do, and it says a lot of things that the federal government cannot do. The first thing you have to do is learn what those are. Article 1, Section 8. Article 1, Section 9. Understand the amendments, all of them, especially the first 10.
On standing armies there, Rex?
The Constitution does not permit a standing army. It only permits a Navy and Marine. The Army was supposed to be called up from the militia. Check your Constitution. And the other thing that's very interesting is this whole violation of posse comitatus. I mean, you've got militarized cops and military units all over this country right now doing stuff. There's some moronic Congress person in Chicago, right? You know, Chicago's got a major problem. In the what, year and a half that the Zimmerman thing's been going on? How many
1,100
kids have been killed in Chicago alone that you didn't hear about? You know, that's the kind of crap. But so what does this congressperson do because there's a problem with gun violence in Chicago? Well, it has some of the most restrictive, unconstitutional laws pertaining to guns in the country, and yet they're the murder capital of the country. So what is this idiot legislator's answer? She wants to call in the National Guard. Now that means that you create a problem by restricting private citizens from owning guns. Criminals all have them. They're killing people. So now you've created a problem, and so you freak out. You say, we got to do something about it. So the best thing to do is martial law. Do you see what's happening here? If you allow this path to continue, if you allow unconstitutional government at every level to keep going, The only solution is chaos or lockdown. Neither one is a good option. And if you're sitting back or you hear somebody telling you, well, you know, I've got my pension check, I'm getting my Social Security, my 401k is doing okay, the market's going up, so I'm not really worried about this stuff. Wake them up, because the shit's going to hit the fan and they're not going to have anything, and especially, I don't care how big your 401k is or your IRA or whatever the hell, when marauders come into your neighborhood and you have no guns and no food, it's not going to matter. It's not going to do you any good. So, you know, figure it out. And, you know, there are things that you can do. Get busy. Do them. Educate yourself. Learn. You know, understand what the rule of law is. And realize that in the modern era, presidents have turned it, like Tex was saying earlier, into an imperial presidency where basically we've given all this unconstitutional power to one man. That's precisely why the founding fathers committed treason against the British crown, because of an absolutist monarch. And now we have an imperial presidency, which is even more absolutist than King George.
All right, it's beyond. Tex, you still there?
We're almost at the top. We're almost at the top of the hour. Tex is still with us. Call-in number, folks, is 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013 if you want to come chime in about law and what is the law of the land and how do we reclaim it.
Before, Tex probably got his mind is ready to roll, but I wanted to throw something out because – when I lived in Alaska, I had a friend of mine that was from Russia, from communist Russia, who had escaped because he was a journalist and they were out to get him. And he was a good friend of mine. We used to sit down and have long conversations about what it was like. And I have a gal in my group that grew up in communist Russia and then, you know, through the fall of the communist state. And then the terrible, terrible time they had after, you know, that initial trying to reboot and become a real economy and a real country again. And you know, I really think that it's amazing to me how few people have ever sat down and talked to people. You know, it's like Ted Cruz's father, you know, talking about what it was like in Cuba, you know, to be tortured and thrown in jail and barely escape and those kind of things. And I don't know why it is that Americans don't think that it could happen here. It's happening in front of your face. Look at the NSA. And the drones and everything else that's going on. And it's just like people just, it's like they're asleep. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. I'm sure Tex has got some stuff.
Well, absolutely. I mean, but the problem is the reason people are asleep is because there's so much other interesting stuff to do. You know, this is the Brave New World, Aldous Huxley theory of, you know, not with a bang but a whimper. There's too many distractions, and it's too hard to stay informed, particularly when you have a media whose primary job isn't to inform you. It's to tell you about the Trayvon Martin case and the George Zimmerman case, when none of us know those people. We don't live in those communities. I don't even live in the state of Florida. But yet this thing was covered, as you saw for the last week, every day you turn on the radio. Opening, you know, from the morning till the end of the night, everything everybody had to say, as if like the nation was hanging in the balance of what happened in this idiotic case. Nobody cared. Nobody cared. And if you really
a lot of people did.
There's something wrong with you. What are you doing sitting around hanging on pins and needles on some idiotic case that you have nothing to do with? People really need a new hobby, but they get hung up on this stuff. Meanwhile, you have things that are passing Congress, bills that are being passed, that are changing fundamentally the relationship between you and the state and what the state can and can't do to you, and nobody's paying attention. Instead, they're playing video games, they're watching movies, and the media's not informing anybody of anything. So people are trying to swim upstream. And the worst part is, it's really not like people are trying to be informed in the first place. It's really not like they care. So now they have to go out of their way to learn something. And that's what we're dealing
with.
The problem is Washington already. Yeah, exactly. And Washington already knows this, so they're like, "Well, I'm not going to be contributing any information to these people. I'm just going to talk in platitudes about, you know, we're going to have rhetorical differences with the opposition, so that people can basically understand the public bones of contention that the two major parties have with each other without becoming involved. And they just go show up and they vote, and it doesn't matter which side they vote for, because in the end they're so indistinguishable that the same result comes out.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
You go left, you're screwed. You go right, you're screwed. You're right. And I mean, look, this Zimmerman case, there's millions of cases, thousands of cases like this all the time. Why this one? Why was this one important? It's because they wanted a catalyst and a distraction.
Because he was a white guy, right?
Well, they thought he was because of his last name at first. When they realized that he wasn't, they'd already made it public, so they doubled down and barreled forward and fabricated this white Hispanic thing. But that's not the
point.
Because
maybe he wouldn't notice, but nobody notices
anything else.
Why would they notice this?
This case became important. What?
The report that his granddad's actually black.
Well, the bottom line is, why did this become important?
Insane.
It became important because of A.G. Holder and President Obama. They created the focus on this in order to have a distraction and to gin up race divisions and all this kind of garbage. And that's the problem, is that people tune into these managed thematic problems that are fabricated in order to keep you away from what's really going on. And until you break that mold and start thinking for yourself, you really are just going to keep being managed by this mess. And then, you know, keep in mind, they do other things while this is going on. So while all this is going on, right, or they're talking about this plane crash in San Francisco that killed 3 people, even though you got a disaster up in Canada that killed more than that. There was a plane crash in Alaska that killed 10 people. They didn't mention that. They just pick and choose these benign stories or these divisive stories like the Zimmerman case to distract you. Well, what happened? Janet Napolitano, that's right, big sis, is going to resign as Sec DHS, right? At the same time that she's doing that, because you think, oh, good, you know, it's designed to give you relief on the right, because you hate Janet Napolitano so much because she's basically turned conservatives, Tea Party, Ron Paul supporters, and the Fed people, Gadsden flag wavers, into terrorists. Oh, good, she's gone. That's fantastic. We're happy now. They're going to replace her with a Republican. Oh, that's even better. Now we've won. We control DHS again since Bush set it up in the first place. Now everything's cool. No more, you know, problems with martial law and all this stuff. Wrong. Because Harry Reid is about to change the rules of the Senate so that there won't be any filibuster and basically hand appointment power to the president without basically Senate approval. So who the hell do you think will be the next DHS secretary? And what is DHS in the first place? I mean, Department of Homeland Defense? Did you even stop to think, do we need this thing when Bush was doing it? No, you were all rah, 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 because it was on your side. Your team was doing it, so it had to be good, right? DHS, give me a break. Why do you need a Department of Homeland Defense? Isn't that what our Navy is for? Isn't that what the Marines is for? Isn't that why we have law enforcement here already? And, you know, the NSA has been spying on us for 50 friggin' years. Why do we need this DHS? The only people that this thing is designed to put under the boot, not the terrorists. Look at how many terrorists are flowing across your southern border that they won't secure. DHS is designed to put the boot on your neck. Unless, of course, you know, you're going to play the game. You're going to go along to get along. You're going to vote to plunder the other guy and just, you know, keep your head low. Well, that's a violation of your ethics, your principles. It's a violation of the moral law, and it's a violation of the Constitution. And if you do that, maybe you'll be okay for a little while until the other side gets in charge and you fall out of favor. You're no longer favored by the ruling class or useful to them, right? Is that the world that you want to live in? Is that what you want to accept? Are you going to sit back now and just, you know, post shit on Facebook and yell at your television instead of actually doing something and actually informing people and actually getting busy about things that matter instead of being distracted by all this crap? How about this, you know, immigration amnesty debacle, right? It passed the Senate. Boehner says, it's not going to pass the House. We're not going to work on it. And then find out, oh, he's going to cut it up into 7 little teeny bills, just kind of, you know, spoon-feed it to you in little bits and bites. Right? Why don't you call about that? Why don't you go visit their office about that now so that we can actually seal up the border? Why do we have a Department of Homeland Defense if we don't even have a border? That's insane. Right? And what about these rules for the Republican Party? Are you going to change those? Are you going to abandon the Republican Party? You can abandon the Republican Party. I could care less about the Republican Party. But if you abandon the Republican Party, then you give everything over to the Democrats. It's game over. It's just that simple.
Well, absolutely. People are tuned out. They're not paying attention. They don't care. And the system is set up in such a way that it makes it impossible to understand what's going on or to care. And instead, you're being sort of inoculated with a thousand distractions coming your way. And so people aren't paying attention. And right now, you know, you have a million scandals that are confusing. Congress is investigating them, but the press isn't investigating them because that's how people know about them. Press is talking about this person said this about that or whatever, and George Zimmerman and this, that, or the other. And what do you think about it? And this morning you turn on the news, and what is it? Well, America is great because we have a jury system. That literally pretty much sums up everything that you heard this morning. Well, the system works, and what other country would have such a system where we can peacefully resolve? I don't know a lot of other countries. You know, I'm just going to throw that out. A lot of other places have this. So, you know, it's not that special. Glad that you're trumping that up because that's the only spin you can put on this is, hey, everybody, don't go out there and riot and freak out because we drummed this thing up to make it seem like it was important to your life when, in fact, it isn't because you don't know any of these people or what the hell happened there in that neighborhood because none of us live there. So
It's, you're right. It's a distraction. I mean, the simple fact is, look, our jury system is very important because it is different than other places, and other places have adopted it from ours, and it's been centuries in the making going back under British common law. That's important. This particular case, I mean, if you were the Zimmerman family or the Martin family or you lived in Florida or you're a gun owner in Florida, yeah, it's probably important to you. It wasn't an important national case until Obama made it that way. But that's you're right. That's designed to distract people. It's a spin. That doesn't invalidate our jury system. In fact, what it shows to me is that we don't even understand what our jury system is. We don't understand that it's the most powerful protection against tyranny that there is, and you can see it by the evidence of the simple fact that people don't want to be on jury duty, people don't know how to be on jury duty, and a lot of people are actually mentally incapable of being on jury duty, and in fact, apparently, judging from this case, a lot of people are mentally incapable of being witnesses in legal cases. But that's besides the point. The fact is that there are important things that you have to focus on. You have to learn how these systems work and not be distracted by this noise. I mean, did you see that stupid TV station, I think, in San Francisco that aired the names of the pilots of the Asiana flight? There was a joke played on them. I mean, that's how stupid your media is, and that's how distracted everybody else is. It's a friggin' joke, man. You got to wake people up and understand that the reason we have laws is to order the way we do things together so you have some kind of predetermined rules as to how to interact. Anytime you have more than three people, you're going to have to come to an agreement on how to get things done. It's just that simple. Okay, we got 300 million, so it's serious. But if they're not respecting the law, is this a republic? I mean, the president is like a king now. He's actually more powerful than any king has ever been. And you seem to be okay with it. Or you want to whine about it but not do something about it. That's the problem. The thing is that there's more of you than there is of them. And whether we're under martial law right now or not, whether they have all the guns or not, I mean, change it. And do it now. I mean, it's been damn near 100 years, more than 100 years that this has been happening. And, you know, what are you going to do about it? And the thing is that you get distracted by stuff or you pick your pet peeve issue, okay? But the fact is that we've got an imperial military plundering the world to prop up this fake dollar that Chris was talking about earlier. And whenever you have imperialism abroad and militarism abroad, you end up with absolute police state tyranny at home. That's what's happening. And instead of being divided over this black, white, Spanish thing or left versus right, get together because it's all about liberty versus tyranny.
I hear texts. Are you trying to get in there?
Are they really plundering? I mean, if there was plunder, then there might be some benefit to it. But right now, there's
well, we're not getting it. We're not getting it.
Or any benefit whatsoever. So I think plunder is questionable at best. The costs, though, are astronomical. The plunder is quite meager. I think that's one of the major issues. We don't get anything for this.
Well, it's the wrong kind of plunder. I agree with you. I mean, look, if you're going to be an empire, then let's go plunder the world and let's bring home the wealth and take it. But we don't. We're carrying the cost to plunder the world on behalf of a parasite that's taken over our government and our country. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, if we were a traditional empire, And we were going to go out and, you know, send our military might across the world and take the gold and the oil and all the resources and you know, okay, I mean, I don't morally agree with that, but if you're going to do it, then you might as well get, you know, people who live here some of this benefit. But that's not what we're doing. We're paying to have it plundered for somebody else. It's the dumbest model ever invented.
Yeah, we'll get ready to do it again.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I got an old clip here of Rand talking, I think this was back about Libya, but it's about 5.5 minutes since we're kind of at the top of the hour. We've got 49 minutes of live show left. Call the number is 646-649-1013 if you want to chime in on the other side. This is Rand talking to that Vanderbilt CIA, I'll reserve the other descriptor, Anderson Cooper on Certainly Not News. But, of course, as usual, Rand nails it. And he's talking about whether it is legal or illegal, which, again, tonight's show is about law, what we are doing, and it'll probably spark some conversation. So we'll be back on the other side of this, about 5.5 minutes long. If you want to call in and chat with us, we got 40 minutes left after this clip, 646-649-1013. Here's Rand.
Libya and the raw politics of the U.S. military involvement in protecting Libyan civilians. Under the War Powers Act of 1973, the president has to get congressional authorization for military action within 60 days after it begins, or the mission has to stop within the next 30 days. That's the law. Whether you agree with it or not, that's the law. It was a law passed under President Richard Nixon to be a hedge on executive power. President Obama formally notified Congress about the action in Libya on March 21st, but did not seek a prior approval. Well, today is the 60-day deadline. Republican Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky is one of the few on Capitol Hill who's been insisting the Obama administration follow the law. Well, late today, we learned that President Obama sent a letter to congressional leaders expressing his support for a Senate resolution that would approve the mission in Libya, but nevertheless, the 60-day deadline has passed. I spoke with Senator Paul a few hours ago, right before we learned about the president's letter. So, Senator Paul, is the President of the United States about to start breaking the law here?
Well, actually, I think he's been in violation of the War Powers Act for some time now, but now he's getting ready to be also in violation of the 60-day requirement that he report to Congress and get authorization within 60 days.
I mean, are you talking about this because, in part, you're opposed to the U.S. involvement in Libya, or would you be talking about this if it was any military action that had gone 60 days without congressional authorization?
I do have questions about whether Libya has anything to do with our national security, but the thing is, it's really most important is not the specifics of the war, but the specifics of the Constitution, because what I fear is an unlimited presidency, and someday we have a president who starts World War III without permission of Congress. That's a very, very dangerous precedent. And I guess what really upsets me is he had time to go to the UN, he had time to go to the Arab League, and so some say, oh, he has permission from the UN, so it's okay. Well, boy, if that's what we're living under, we really are completely ignoring our own Constitution. We never wanted one person, the president, to be able to decide to take us to war. We always wanted the debate between a president and a Congress so we didn't go to war willy-nilly, or we didn't go to war without careful consideration.
There are some who argue, well, maybe the War Powers Act itself is unconstitutional. It's never really been tested at the Supreme Court level.
Right. Well, the thing is that we rule on the Constitution all the time, and once a law is passed by Congress, President, it is the law until the Supreme Court overturns it. And I believe in the rule of law and that we restrain and control the powers, and we don't give unlimited power. I think it's a very dangerous precedent if we let this go forward.
There's a quote here from the Deputy Secretary of State, James Steinberg, who said, "We are actively reviewing our role going forward. Throughout, the President has been mindful of the provisions of the War Powers Resolution. He's acted in a manner consistent with it. He will continue to do so." That doesn't really mean anything. I mean, saying he's acting consistent with it and yet not actually, you know, following it, I don't quite understand what that means.
That's kind of government gobbledygook as far as I can tell. But what I would say is he's already in violation. The War Powers Act says there's only three reasons the president can go to war: declaration of war by Congress, authorization of force by Congress, or imminent danger. I think even myself agrees that the president, under extraordinary times, if we're attacked or there's a terrorist attack or a nuclear attack, the president can take action. But just think, if the president were a real leader, here's what would have happened. When Libya escalated and we were out of session and he declared war while we were out of session, which is a little bit suspicious to begin with, if he were a true leader, he would have called us back. Every one of us, within 24 hours, would have been back He should have come to Congress, spoken to a joint session of Congress, and said, I need the power to go to war, this is why, and explain to the people.
Didn't Ronald Reagan, though, send Marines into Lebanon back in 1982, and it took a year before Congress acted?
We haven't always followed the law. I'm not saying that we haven't always obeyed the law correctly, but I can tell you, had I been there then, I would have insisted on voting also. But there is no reason in the world why this shouldn't be openly, publicly debated. We go week after week in the Senate and do nothing. I feel like sometimes I should return my check because I go up, they do no votes and no debate. Look at this horrendous
debt crisis.
Really?
You feel like that?
We don't debate that either.
You feel like you're not doing anything?
Yes,
there?
I feel... Absolutely. We go up week to week, and there's no debate in Congress, no debate in the Senate. We sit idly by. Some weeks we vote on two or three non-controversial judges, and we go back home.
Why is that?
I'm trying to get a vote on Libya. They say they don't have time. I was told that when I wanted to bring up my resolution on Libya, which I did force them to, but I had to kind of...
You got tabled like 90 to 10.
Yeah, and they weren't too happy with me because I used some parliamentary procedures to gain access to the floor, and they came running down to the floor. They were apoplectic that I had taken over the floor. And the thing is that we should be having these debates on the floor. They don't want to have any debate. I'm asking right now to vote on Libya. I have a resolution saying we're in violation of the War Powers Act. It's hard for me to get to the floor unless I somehow sneak on the floor when no one's looking to try to get a vote. Why would we not want to debate great constitutional questions? When I ran for office, that's what I thought. There will be great and momentous debates on the floor. We don't have any because they prevent the debates from ever even beginning.
Senator Rand Paul, I appreciate you coming on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, isn't that just an indictment of your system that has been violated since the 17th Amendment was enacted by a limp Congress during the so-called progressive era?
That's kind of scary, honest of him.
Well, that's why they don't like him. Why he's hated. All right, well there you go. Started with Libya, right, which is where this whole thing started. Go for it.
What is the Senate doing all the time? What is Congress doing all the time? They meet all the time. They're always there. But what are they doing to any effect? They used to debate the big issues of the day, and they may pass in a Congress a few pieces of actually consequential, effect, things that would change the course of the nation, but they were always heavily debated. Now they don't do anything. They sit around. They don't really even debate anymore because of the cloture rule, so there's no filibuster. There's no real stakes anymore. Congress meets all the time, all year round. They vote on whatever the shooting star of the day is. Something hits the headlines, and they're all over it because they want to show their constituents back home. Look at me. I'm out in front of this issue. I'm going to do something and pass a law that's going to fix this issue. But they don't fix the major ones. And you know what? When they do fix the major ones, they fix it real good. They don't really fix it. They make it worse so that you can come back to them later for the other solution to whatever that problem happens to be. So, the problem with Congress is that it's ineffective. The problem with Congress is the Congress people don't want to actually take any responsibility for the things that they do. They want to transfer all the responsibility onto somebody else that they can blame so that they can take the credit for things that they didn't necessarily do so that they can get reelected. The whole purpose of people in Congress is to get reelected and to get more money so that they can run again. It's not to go out there and fix and change the course of the nation because none of these people have other jobs or anything else that they want to do with their time. They're in Congress
yep.
now. That's in of itself.
It's a career.
It's a career. Now they want to perpetuate themselves in power. And the way they do that is not by taking responsibility for things they can be blamed for, but it's by dodging responsibility. Meanwhile, the country has actual problems that need to be solved. The Congress won't solve because it's not in their interest to solve them. And if there
and they also,
go ahead. If there is, they're just going to blame someone else. If it's a problem, it's someone else's fault. I didn't do it.
Well, and the other thing, too, is these monster bills that they put through. I mean, it is so overwhelming. You look at the amount of, the amount of time and energy and news and media and ads, to push the immigration bill or to, the amount of time and energy on the Zimmerman case, which really ties back to the Second Amendment battle we've been having for the last year, and trying to push through these monster bills to change the completely change the direction our country's going, to completely override your freedoms, to completely put the money in the hands of the corporatists and the lobbyists and the lawyers, and leave the rest of us out to dry. All of these bills, everything that I've studied for the last year, year and a half, are just are months, or even all the way back to Obamacare. It's so overwhelming. If you're not an attorney, you don't even know what the hell is in this thing. Half the time, the people voting on them don't even know what's in these bills. I mean, it's insanity. And it was never meant to be that way. And I don't know what it's going to take to turn it around. I don't know if it's, this system's going to have to crash. I don't know if it's going to be World War 4.2, you know, that's going to force it back to, you know, ground zero, because I don't see people awake. You know, I see people burnt out, apathetic, caught up in the news of the day, caught up in the Zimmerman case. You know, I mean, we were talking about immigration, and we were trying to have a conversation about Syria, because that's just about the ugliest thing. Well, it's not the only ugly thing we've done in the Middle East, but it's definitely one of the big ones, and it's got our ass on the line, because this time it's not our propped-up dictator we put in there. It's actually a sovereign country that has some big-ass freaking friends like Russia and China and Iran behind it, and they're walking us down the pathway to a freaking monster war, and I can't even get people to talk about this crap. You know, it's just mind-boggling. What are we talking about? What is it, is American Idol on, or Dancing with the Stars, or Alligator Hunters, or what's the end thing? Are we in football season yet? I don't even freaking know.
Well, I think the problem is that the standard way that you would go about correcting this is essentially that you vote. You know, you call and you have conversations with your neighbors, and you vote for the better of the two parties at the time. You go vote, and then you go home, right? That's what you do. But
what we used to do.
Exactly. Power's been transferred so far from your locality up to Washington that the act of voting doesn't really have much effect, and people don't notice much difference in their lives because of the act of voting, so they stop really doing that. Or if they do, they're just, I'm on team A, you're on team B, and all the conversations degenerate that way, as we all know, because we have these conversations with people on all sorts of teams, and there's no effect. And so people now are apathetic and like, well, I can't do anything about it, I can't change it, because in order to change something, you need people who are actually fired up and motivated to do something to go fix the Republican Party or fix the Democrat Party. I mean, the Democrat Party is the one that's all screwed up. You know, the Republican Party is just a terribly ineffective opposition that basically has decided as a strategic choice to not be opposition anymore, but to be, we're just like brand X, but slightly different, right? So my complaint is that there is no opposition, and I hate the opposition. The opposition needs to be fixed, but really it's the Democrat Party that's off the reservation. So how do you fix this? Well, you can either fix it by going into the Republican Party, flipping up the hood and working with some wrenches to try to figure out, okay, what's wrong with this thing and how do we get it back on track? Who are the people who are screwing this thing up, and get rid of them and replace them with good people? Or you have to say, you know, this car is a lemon and we need a new car. And then you go look at, let's look at that new car, right? All right. Okay, so if you're not Republican, Democrat, the next big party is the Libertarian Party. And then you go talk to those people, and it's like, oh, yeah, okay, Constitution, I like that. You know, balance budget, I like that. You know, look at, okay, that's all good. And then they're on about, you know, mermaids and chemtrails and shit. You know, I mean, I'm serious. and you're like, that's it, I'm done. I just, you know, I'm out. So it's just, you can't, wherever you go, it's just screwed up.
Well, it's always been screwed up. The fact is that if things weren't screwed up, the first thing is that, I don't know, wealthy land-owning British subjects wouldn't have committed treason and revolted against their parliament and their monarch in order to declare the 13 colonies free and independent states, and then they wouldn't have put together a constitution that balances power against power. Why did they do that? Oh, they understood that no matter what the law says, if anybody has access to total power, then it wouldn't matter. It would be caprice. They would do whatever they want whenever they wanted it, and no one would say different. So they set up a system that balances power against power because they understood that men are inherently prone to corruption, and power does corrupt, and power attracts the corrupt. So The Constitution is there. It's still the law. We don't pay attention to it. We don't enforce it. We don't hold them accountable to it. If you're that ignorant, and let's face it, obviously if you're listening to the show, you're probably not that ignorant, okay, because you actually decided to listen. But most of America is. They don't know what the Constitution says. They don't know what it means. They don't know
what
it means.
They don't even know what the 4th of July is about, Rex.
I don't know what the 4th of July is about either. It's like some,
no,
some
but
kind
you know
of Independence
what I'm saying.
Day. That,
you
that's,
know,
that's
Independence
the, that's
Day.
That's the day
I mean,
after Cinco de Mayo where we drink beer.
It's amazing. You know, some of these street interviews just are just appalling. You know, we're not
yeah.
talking about they're going down to frickin' Skid Row asking people on the, you know, on the bottle of wine in the brown paper bag. They're like in nice places or in schools or in malls or where nice
sure.
dressed people are walking around shopping,
sure.
asking key fundamental questions about just, we're talking about, we're not even talking about deep stuff like we get into, just some fundamental things like, do you know what country you're in? What border? What countries border us? You know, what country did we break away from in the revolution? Some really stupid shit like that, and they can't even freaking answer these questions. And these people get to vote, and they're voting in people who are destroying my country. Everything I've ever, I mean, it's just amazing to me how people just stare at the TV or stare at the damn internet, you know, or do their damn barbecues. And our country's falling apart, and these bastards are getting ready to get us into World War IV, and people don't even know what the hell's going on. They don't even turn on long enough to figure out why they're in pain and why it ain't getting better after 4.5 years because you voted a Marxist into power. Sorry, but that's
bread
what
and circus.
You did.
Bread and
that's
circus.
What you did.
Yeah, it's bread and circus.
You didn't vote
what
a
you're saying.
Change. You voted a Marxist into power.
Yeah, but why don't they know these things in the nice areas? Look. Bread and circuses, man. Entertain me, feed me, provide me with distracting crap, new technology that I don't need in order to do things that I never thought I needed to do. I mean, let's face it, technology is a wonderful thing, but most people, what do they use it for? I mean, you look at Twitter, right? It's a very powerful tool. If you tweet your congressman and tell him, you know, send him an article or a point or a quote or whatever it is, or tell him what you feel about a piece of legislation.
Or an attaboy if he does something good.
Right. Everybody in that feed sees it. It's public. So it kind of, you know, it's like the Areopagus. It forces the issue, right? But what do most people tweet? You know, their dinner, a picture of their cat, some douchebag jumping off a mountain. I mean, it's ridiculous, you know, and it's because a corrupt people will have corrupt rulers. And it get your head out of your ass. Now, you could go argue with people left and right about all sorts of stupid stuff. Or you can actually start building common ground on basic fundamental issues. We cannot sustain 94 conflicts across the world. It can't be done. Even if it was desirable, we're incapable of sustaining this. So let's curtail our foreign adventurism. We cannot maintain this empire. We're going to collapse. All right? You can't bring people in across this border who don't know what it's like to be Americans, who don't have any financial resources to come here and start raiding your hospital.
Or they want
to
kill us. Or the one that kills.
Right, right. Or criminals. Or you can't do that. It's not just you got to fix that border. You can't keep running with paper money backed by nothing other than the fact that you can blow up the world 10 times over. Okay, so these are things you need to agree on. I mean, the whole Fourth and Fifth Amendment issue. I mean, that's not a left-right thing. Are you kidding? I mean, you know, not being secure in your papers, your electronic communication, your personal effects. Not having the right to due process before someone takes your life or your liberty. Are you kidding me? This is not a left-right issue. This is an us versus them issue. We should all be in broad agreement on these things. And it doesn't matter if someone is willing to concede these things because their guy's in charge. Well, you know, what if their guy's not in charge? What if you're no longer the favored class? That's the problem. And that's what has to be done. So it's a fact of educating people to realize that we are all really on the same side. Now, there are some quibbling issues, and some of them are serious. And we should have these debates. And we should fight tooth and nail for what we believe. But if you lose the whole thing, what difference does it make? When you're running around in a collapsed economy with no border control and a police state in certain areas and absolute anarchy and chaos in others, and you can't find something to eat, you're not going to give a shit about Twitter, about some
I mean, it could be an important case like the Zimmerman case, but it's so far away. What would it matter to you? The right to bear arms? If you got no bullets, who cares how many guns you've got? I mean, this is how serious this is. And if you think it can't happen here, you're out of your mind. You're out of your friggin' mind. It's already happened here. You're in the midst. There's no financial collapse coming. You're in the middle of it. There's no military police state coming. You're in the middle of it. It's happened. It just hasn't been turned on fully yet because they're not ready to do it. Now, you know, you can put your head in the sand and say, oh, all is lost, woe is me, forget it. Or you can, you know, run into the mountains and stuck up on your, you know, dehydrated food and your MREs and all that kind of stuff. Maybe you'll survive for a while. You know, or just get off your ass. Get busy. Do something. Educate yourself. Take action. That's what has to be done. If the law is not respected, then you live in a lawless society. And you'll either be under the boot of some oligarch's militarized Gestapo Stasi, or you'll fight back and be free. And you don't have to fight back with guns yet. Let's not get to that point. How about we fight back with the tools we've got now? You still
when
have
your
the
ruling
tools.
Class lives like kings and queens, and they live above the law, and they can break the law and do what they want and issue themselves money and cut deals with corporations because they know about laws being passed and make themselves wealthy while the rest of the people work their asses off and never get ahead, you got problems, folks, because that's where we're at. We are right back to where when our colonists, you know, were dealing with the fact of going like, you know, one man should not have total power, or one group of people have total power over the masses of people. And that was the discussion. Equality under the law includes the people who are making these damn laws. But it doesn't anymore. It's beyond that. Every day these people are abusing the Constitution, breaking laws, you know, cutting corrupt deals, you know, screwing around, doing perverted crap on their families and wives. And we just shrug it off. And it's just mind-boggling to me that our society has gotten to this point. You know, I know that the masses have never been really smart when it comes to, you know, in-depth political stuff. But this day and age, right now, with everything that's going on, with all the scandals, the average person still doesn't even have a clue what's going on.
And you know what? That's never been really much different. Go ahead, Tex.
You raise an important point about the economic condition, which is this country has lived for a long time off of equity, and that's equity that was given to us by our forefathers, our inheritance from World War II, and now that equity has been spent, and it's dissipating, and now standards of living are declining, and people don't know what to do about it. How do we get that back?
Watch more TV.
And I think exactly. Watch more TV. Well, you just put your head in the sand because you don't know what to do. That's what most people are doing. You know, they try to play the game, but the system is rigged. You have to go to college, but guess what? A college degree is priced through the roof. You know why? Because the government subsidizes it now. You can get unlimited
money. Insurance and health care and everything else, right.
Because you can get unlimited money. Now, guess what? College education costs unlimited money because the college is like, hey, we can get unlimited money for our teachers if we just charge unlimited money for the degree. And you know what? The students will be able to get it because they'll go to the government. The government doesn't care because the government prints its own money. It'll just give it to these kids. And then they'll get an education, and they'll have a massive burden of debt that they can never pay off, and they'll never have anything like the middle class that they've been promised as a result of having a degree. And you know what they really want? They want to get a house. So you know what? We'll create unlimited money to give them a house, right? So now housing prices are completely inflated. So they go buy a house, and now they can't afford the damn house because the price is through the roof, but we gave them unlimited money, and now they have unlimited debt, and they have unlimited debt for their house, and they have unlimited debt for their education, and now they wonder why they're not doing better. But they don't want to complain because, well, I still live in the American dream. I mean, you know, I got my house and whatever. That's a problem, you know.
Huh.
I mean, all this other stuff they could probably get away with, you know. Wars and all that kind of crap, they can get away with all that crap.
In a good economy,
the living was increasing, but it's not.
Right.
And so now they've screwed up the whole thing because the Americans aren't getting any better off.
Well, they haven't the last.
I mean, I can tell. I can tell you around the Imperial City, everybody's doing much better off. But you know, you go out two hours outside of the Capitol Beltway, and it's a Mad Max. It's a freaking apocalyptic wasteland.
Well, I can tell you how to make some real money. Go be a consultant for the Republican Party and just tell them to break the party even worse. Just go advise them to be more like the Democrats, make like a bajillion dollars, and they'll follow the advice and they'll go into oblivion. And the parasite will eat the host, and then when it's over, you're like, well, whatever, I made a lot of money, so who cares?
Exactly. That's the Karl Rove model for running elections into the ground for the Republican Party. Screw the Republican Party. I mean, look, unfortunately, it's the tool that you got at your disposal now because you allowed it to get to this point. So, you know, suck it up. But look, the simple fact is that most people throughout most of history haven't been this involved. That's just a fact. Even when we were declaring independence, most people didn't give two shits, whether it was Britain or independent states or whatever. They didn't care, you know, as long as they got to do their thing or as long as things weren't, you know, ruffled too much. But see, the thing is that these things are always destructive. But it always is a tireless minority that makes these things happen, which is precisely why politics in this country, since we declared independence, since before that, has always been a grassroots movement. And what they've been trying to do, this corporatist clique, the consultant lobbyist establishment complex in both parties, is trying to eliminate that. They want to be in charge. They want to, you know, let you change the player so you feel like you have a voice and give you a controlled opposition to rail against while they just build this monstrous Leviathan and plunder the world in your name while impoverishing you and having you foot the bill for it. Okay? So the fact is, the only way you're going to fix it is through grassroots. So, you know, you don't have to convince everybody. You're never going to convince everybody. But you need to convince those that are willing to do the work to change the rules of the Republican Party in Boston August 14th, to hammer the crap out of these congressmen, most of whom are scared shitless of losing their power and privilege in 2014, by telling them that if they pass this amnesty thing, they're done. You pick and choose your battles where you can be effective. Don't worry about stuff you got no control over. You are not going to do a damn thing about whether the Egyptian military gets more F-16s or not. So you're not going to do anything about it. So forget it. I mean, I'm not saying don't pay attention. It's kind of important, the Suez Canal, the fact that it's going to be a regional conflict over there. We might go to war with Russia and China. Those are important things to consider. But there's nothing you could do about it. There are some things you can do things about. Get busy on those things. Start rebuilding it. You're not going to get it all in one or two or three or four, five election cycles. It took you damn near a century to get here. There's hardly anybody alive in this country today, probably less than a handful of people, who even remember what this country was like when we were free. But we have the, as Tex points out, the institutional knowledge, because the Constitution hasn't been repealed. It's been ignored. But it is the oldest Constitution of an existing government on the planet. It's being ignored, it's being trampled, but some of us know what it means, and we have some representatives who know what it means. You better learn what it means and understand how it really works. And don't take someone else's word for it. Read it. Read the document itself and read the commentary on it by those who wrote it, not the douchebag lawyers that are overeducated and shitholes like Harvard and Yale. Their opinion on it, but the guys that actually wrote it. And when you tell me that, oh, well, you know, but that was when we were an agrarian society in the 18th century, it doesn't apply today. If you are under the impression that humanity has changed in 10,000 years or that principles are you know, malleable and flexible, then you're beyond convincing. You live in some fantasy superstitious alternate reality, and it's not helpful. Get in touch with reality, okay? The principles in the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, they're immutable. They haven't changed. And human nature hasn't changed. Corrupt men will always seek power to put it over you. And unless you stop them, they won't stop. It's that simple. The world is being run into the ground by psychopaths, megalomaniacs, and murderers. And you're allowing it. And if you think that there's no responsibility that you have because, oh, there's nothing I could do about it, well, there is something you can do about it. You'd better do something about it. And don't give me this other crap, which a lot of people seem to believe, but it depends on if their team wins. It's better to be the right hand of the devil than in his past. You know what it's better to do? Stand up for what's right. That's what we have to do. Get busy. We got stuff to do.
All right, gentlemen, we've got 20 minutes of show left. If anybody wants to call in, I'm going to give you 5 minutes, 646-649-1013. That's 646-649 or 1013. If no one calls in, because we're just rolling, we'll start wrapping up in 5 minutes. But why don't we take it back to the original point and get some comments on that. The original point was that POTUS just unilaterally declared, and I think he did it in a tweet, if I'm not mistaken, while the news cycle was focused on some stupid shit like Zimmerman. I think that's an invalid case, but it certainly should have never had national attention. But, you know, the fact is that he decided to unilaterally delay the implementation of, even though it's an illicit law, a law passed by Congress that requires that the employer mandate go through. He's delayed it in order to open up the opportunity for Democrats in the 2014 midterms. It is a political ploy. He can't do that unless you allow him, unless your Congress allows him. So let's kind of try to bring it home on that. Yeah.
Turns out the cornerstone of his legislative agenda, his one crowning achievement, is impossible. That's got to be embarrassing. Like, I have to delay the implementation of this pile of shit until I get out of office. It's essentially the current strategy. Like, holy crap, they passed this terrible bill. I didn't even read it. I mean, remember Obama, he turned complete legislative authority for Obamacare over to Congress. Actually, he turned it over to Congress from the guy who wrote Romneycare for Mitt Romney. But he gave it to them, and he's like, oh, I'm sure it'll be fine because, you know, I'm really light on the details of Obamacare because I'm Barack Obama and I don't really pay attention much to details of what's going on. I don't really care. And now it turns out, like, oh, my God, my crowning achievement is a big piece of crap that's going to destroy the entire U.S. economy. I guess that's a bad thing. I wonder if my party supports that. The party's like, no, we cannot implement this thing. We have to shut it down. There is no industry in the nation that is supporting the implementation of the thing because this is going to be mass layoffs and higher unemployment. The other thing about unemployment is like, well, unemployment stayed the same this month as it was last month, or, well, you know, it's still up near around 8%. You know why? Because what happens when people who were on unemployment go off unemployment, because eventually it expires, right? When they go off unemployment, they assume, well, they've decided they've found some other form of work beyond unemployment, so they must be employed now, right? Well, what they did is now they're on the dole. Now they're on welfare, now they're on food stamps, that sort of thing. And so, well, that's not affecting the unemployment rate. It totally is affecting the unemployment rate because, you know what, that's a drag on the economy. They weren't able to find work because there were no jobs being created, and the reason there were no jobs being created was because of stupid laws like Obamacare that are destroying the economy. And you can't get out of it. It's a death spiral. Why does no one in Washington want to pass laws that would revitalize the economy? Wouldn't that make you popular? Isn't that what politicians want? Well, no, it turns out actually what politicians want is money rather than a successful, well-functioning economy and sort of the fame and glory, if you will, for doing a good job. They don't care about that. They care about themselves. I'm noticing, and maybe I'm not the only person, a serious drop-off in the quality of our presidents since the baby boom generation started coming in. Now, I'm not saying like Nixon was really good, but I'm just saying that dude at least was competent, right? I mean, he wasn't necessarily a good guy, but he knew what he was doing. I don't think that, Clinton, I think he kind of knew what he was doing, but he got whipsawed by Gingrich a lot, right? I don't think Bush Jr. knew what he was doing, and I don't think Barack Obama knows what he's doing. I don't think these people are really paying attention. And that's part of the problem. We don't have real leadership in this country anymore.
Yeah, not just Calvin Coolidge. But should we really care? If you really think about it, right, other than in times of imminent threat or declared war, which is only by Congress, not the president, should you really care about your president? I mean, he should be relatively inconsequential. His job is to administer. He's basically just, you know, the COO of one branch of the federal government, and he doesn't even handle the money. He just gets to implement the laws of Congress. We shouldn't care. But we've allowed this presidency to grow into imperial power.
Yeah,
and I say we've allowed because it's our fault.
Except that they've crowned themselves, you know, king of the world, and now they're in charge of everything, and now they don't know what they're doing because they don't care. They're disinterested in the job that they have. That's the problem. But yet they
have sucked
up all the power over the past 50, 60 plus years.
Yeah.
Well, that's because the power's gone is moved to the federal government, and people keep voting in people who promise them that they're going to solve all the problems of the world, including all the moral breakdown of our society, when they get to office. It's never
they caused the moral breakdown.
Their job. Yeah, I know, but it was never their job in the first place. People need to wake the hell up and start focusing on their state, because the federal government, outside of a handful of people, and obviously 2014 is important, but if they don't, they've got to figure out what in the hell is going on in their state, because I live in a socialist second phase of California, where I live, and it's terrible. And
you don't even have good beaches.
They lie and spend money, and I mean, my God, it's insane here. You know, they cut funding for important things to make sure all their state worker unions and teachers are going on strike when the economy was crashing. I mean, they're just idiots here. They're idiots here. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. You know, the school systems are broken. They can't fix them. Everybody's suing everybody. I mean, I feel like I live in California. I grew up in Oregon, Washington, before I went to Alaska. And when I got back out of Alaska, they'd freaking ruin these places.
That's the point.
And it's just insane. It's insanity. And there's times when you just look at all this shit going on, and you're like, this isn't real. People can't be this stupid.
Because
chickens come, obviously, I guess, but, the chickens come home to roost. It ain't getting better, and it isn't going to get better. And when Bernanke shuts off that printing press and China quits sending us, giving us money, which they're already vacillating on in loans, everybody else has got problems, too. When he turns off that printing press, shit's going to come home real quick. And it's just mind-boggling to me how few people understand that. And then they'll all be screaming and pulling their hair and beating their chest and crying and whining and rioting in the streets. And it's kind of like guys like us are standing here. A year ago we were talking about this stuff. Going, wake up.
Talk about it.
You got a 401, well, longer than that. But, you got a 401K, you better convert it real quick because they're eyeballing that one too. I mean, how many times you got to say this stuff before people go, oh, I don't know. I think we've been right on everything we've talked about since I've known you guys. And I don't like being right because it sucks. It really does.
It doesn't matter if you're right. If nothing is done about it. And the fact is you got to repeat it over and over and over again because they're always going to, the corrupt are always going to fight back. But, I mean, you have to ask yourself, you wonder, how does this happen? Well, it happens because of the voters. I mean, even though there's rigging and there's money and there's manipulation and all this crap, for the most part, you got to convince enough people to at least make it look plausible, or else the whole thing devolves into chaos, and they don't necessarily want that. They figured out how to deal with it if it happens, but they want their nice cushy positions and their, make you buy useless crap you don't need to line their coffers. But when you got guys like Wiener and Spitzer and what's the other guy, Sanford, when you got assholes like that, who got caught, caught with their pants down, and you're going to vote for them and let them run again. Okay, this just shows you how corrupt the assholes are, and somehow they convince you, let's give them another chance. Are you kidding? I mean, that's what's wrong with this picture. You keep putting the same corrupt assholes, the same thieves, psychopaths, megalomaniacs back in power, and then you go, I wonder why things are so screwed up. Stop doing it. I mean, you elected a community organizer with Marxist tendencies and Muslim sympathies twice. What the hell is wrong with you people? I mean, that's insane. I don't care if you're a liberal. That guy's not a liberal. He's not a friend of yours. He's a Muslim sympathizer. And let's be clear about something. As soon as the Muslims get power, you liberals are fucking dead. They don't like you. They're not your friends. I mean, it's insane. Wake the hell up. You keep electing these people who are on your team, but they're not. Go ahead.
You don't like right-wing Christians. You ain't seen nothing yet.
It's insane. It's literally insane. All right, we're almost done. We got about 15 minutes left. We'll do some final closing thoughts. But look, the simple fact is, as dark as it seems and as horrible as it seems, that's reality. Wake up and look at it. And if it sucks, it sucks. Don't try to sugarcoat it or put rose-colored
spectacles on or anything else. Just look at it as it really is and get busy and do something about it. Don't go stick your head in the sand. Don't go running for the hills. Don't start screaming that, you know, it's all over, the end times, we're all going to die. Get busy and do what you're supposed to do as a sovereign citizen. Quit screwing around. All right, let's go to final thoughts. We'll do 5 minutes with, you know, as long as you want, really, but no more than 5 minutes with Chris. Then we'll go to Texas, and I'll bring it on home.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that you've the important thing is, and we talk about this a little bit, you know, every time we talk and on the group, is it's about education, you know, and it takes willpower. You have to, you know, with pain, I mean, change typically with human nature comes from adverse situations or crisis or whatever. And I've never been afraid of adverse situations or crisis, but I was, maybe it's the way I was raised, my religious background, whatever the case may be. But, you know, when things hurt is when you step up and go, okay, you know, when I put my hand on that stove, I got burned, so maybe I should learn something here. And that's the process that seems to be missing from our society in general, you know, is that critical thinking. And so it's getting back to learning, becoming a student again. I remember I used to train and teach all the time on success principles and all this kind of stuff throughout my lifetime. And one of the things that's so important to understand is that most people, by the time they get out of school, they learn more in school than they learn the rest of their damn life. They quit learning. They learn with a goal to achieve something, and that's get a career, get a paycheck, which has always been boring to me. But, you know, the whole concept of lifelong learning, in other words, you know, turning learning from a pain into something that's important, you know, learning about your history and your culture and your society and our founding fathers and the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and you know, and take your eyes off of what the media is telling you and actually get an education, because it's all there. There are great resources for this thing, and start to understand what it is that you believe in, because if you don't know what you're willing to die for, you don't know what you're willing to live for. And that's such an important thing, because I think a lot of people are just surviving, and they keep waiting for somebody to get in office that's going to fix it all for them. Well, you know, we had Bush, and we had the terror, 9/11, and he didn't fix shit and ran our country into the ground. Then we got the Hope and Change guy in, you know, who was going to come in and fix everything and make the world love us, and went on his apology tour and got the Nobel Peace Prize, and has become the drone king of the world. You know what I mean? And got us in 74, 75 conflicts, trying to get us in a war with Russia. I mean, you know, none of these guys are going to solve it. And so when you finally get over that love affair with this American idol politics, and you start to look, you've got to figure out who are you and what do you believe and what do you stand for? You know, you don't have to have the exact same beliefs as a guy next to you, but those founding principles and those documents in the Constitution were built for all people, and it were built forever. It is not an old, crusty, out-of-date document. It works. The reason the libs and the Marxists and all these assholes want to tell you that, oh, it's outdated, is because it gets in their way of making totalitarianism the rule of the land. That's why they call it that. That's why they confuse you with that terminology and things like we live in a democracy. No, we frickin' don't. Well, maybe we do now, but we're not supposed to be. You know, it's a republic, and it's a republic for a reason. And you have to understand those. When you understand those things, it just doesn't go away. You get it. And when you get it, it changes your perception. It changes how you hear things from when politicians speak. Why do we like Cruz or you know, what Palin has to say, or Rand Paul, or, you know, Amash, or what is it about these guys that resonates with people? You know, it isn't the right-wing thing, because I don't consider these people right-wingers. I consider them more libertarian in nature, because they want maximum personal freedom. You know, right-wingers are like, you know, fascists who want to control your life. You know, when you get around people like that, they want to free your life. They want you to be able to pursue your dreams and figure out who you are and what you want to accomplish in your life and what religion you want to believe in and where you want to live and what kind of frickin' car you want to drive and not to be frisked going through an airport, you know, because you're a citizen, not a terrorist. You know, this is about freedom. It isn't about control. And it's amazing how that's been all turned around and people buy into this shit. I mean, the TSA to me was one of the biggest abuses that ever. It showed me how weak Americans have become, because in their fear, they let the government put in this system that abused people every day, and they would smile and they would nod and they would accept it. And that's why I think this NSA thing is, I mean, 20 years ago, this NSA thing would have started riots in this country. And today, people are going, well, yeah, but, and you got to be kidding me. I can't believe I'm hearing that out of people's mouths. That's changed, and it's not going to change until people wake up and get an education. Sorry, I didn't mean to roll so long.
No, that was spot on. It's perfect. Why don't you plug your group, and then we'll go to text.
Oh, guys, what group are we moving to? Coalition of Freedom 2. And tomorrow it'll be Coalition of Freedom once I get everything moved over and the other two, you know, the original group shut down. And then the second group that I screwed up the technology feature on, so I had to build this new one. So I've got it pretty much thrown together, moving people over now. You got to love technology. It sucks. Remember before laptops? Do you remember that? I don't know how old you guys are.
I remember before personal computers.
I remember my first laptop. You know, it was supposed to make our lives better. My life was never better with technology. All the time and energy and fixing shit and learning shit and correcting stuff and security. And I mean, it's amazing. And people just go, yeah, they're spying on me. Who cares? I ain't doing nothing wrong. Oh, my God. I hope you don't vote. Anyway.
Yes, I got it. All right, so check it out. Tex, go ahead. We got 4 minutes live, but, you know, whatever. Just go.
Yeah, sure. I just want to say, you know, thing is, so we're in the situation right now. We've got to get out of this situation, but nobody knows where to go. So the thing is, best shot, first chance, try to reform the Republican Party, fix it, and turn it into something, you know, something better. The problem is, it's like, you know, you're in Australia, and you got a monkey, and the thing is just, you know, urinating left and right all over you, and you don't like it. That's what the Republican Party is like right now. It's just, I don't know what to do with this thing, but it won't stop peeing, mostly on me. And, you know, I don't know. So if you look at the U.S. government, something like that, here they are. I mean, MIA, third world democracy, these people, they have more records than the KGB. They're tapping into everything out there on the planet, but they can't stop anything. They have all this data, but they can't process the data. Part of the problem is not necessarily keeping us safe, it's just robbing us of our liberty, which is part of the problem in the first place. So, you know, what are you going to do? How are you going to fix this thing? I don't really know, but I think the first thing you need to do is either try to reform the Republican Party or abandon it. And so right now it's on a trial period. The problem is the Republican Party is trying to go in completely the wrong direction, whereas the voters are completely apathetic about it because they don't really like it or support it anymore. And you talk to these people all the time, but they don't know where else to go. So like, well, I am a Republican, but that's not a good situation for that party to be in. So I think the best thing to do would be break it up, atomize it into a bunch of parts. Not necessarily split it up so that it doesn't exist anymore, but have important voices within the Republican Party go form their own groups, because parties are essentially amalgamations of groups. So go form your own groups and go find what your own group thinks and build a constituency for that group, and then make the Republican Party try to make a bid or a play as to why your group belongs in their party. Because I think what they're going to find out really quick is there is nobody who thinks the Republican Party should be more left-wing and more like the Democrat Party, because there's going to be no Democrat group that's like, hey, we want to join your party because we heard you're just like the Democrats but weaker. So I think it's going to be a lost cause. You know, and when you look at the consultancy, all they want to do is take your money. That's all they want to do. And so they're just robbing these fools blind. And they're happy to be robbed blind because they've got Karl Rove. Everybody's listening with rapt attention to what he has to say. Meanwhile, he's robbing the party blind, and he's destroying people that the voters would actually support in elections. and replacing them with people who pay him. So that's your modern-day Republican Party. I don't know where you go from there, but, you know, they certainly don't have my vote unless they earn it. And they are the only person earning anything from the Republican Party lately is Karl Rove and consultants. So that's where we are.
So from your description, it sounds like the appropriate description for Karl Rove is that he's a whore. If you want whores,
pretty
you
much.
Should vote for Democrats. They're all whores.
The Republican Party is a big John.
Yeah, basically. And that's the sad fact. That's the sad fact. It's a big John in more than one way. It's a toilet, and it's also a guy who's serviced by horse. The simple fact is, okay, that's filthy, Rex. You're being offensive. Well, you know what I find offensive? I find it offensive that the Republican Party purports to be conservative and constitutional, and they're a bunch of corporatist, Keynesian, statist bastards. That's what I find offensive. Now, your next chance, and this is an action alert. This is something you have to do. We're going to be talking about it extensively next week. So tune in to the Tex and Rex Show, 10 p.m. Eastern, next Sunday to talk about this. And for this week, if you're interested in looking at the topic, check out Bard's Logic Political Talk with Robert Jetter on Wednesday night. You can find him on Blog Talk Radio. He's going to be doing a rules meeting show also. This is the RNC summer meeting coming up in Boston August 14th. And it is very important. I would ask you to go to Coalition of Freedom and also the Tex and Rex Show Facebook pages. There's information about it. There's also a really good community page on Facebook, RNC. That's retarded nincompoop. I can't say the C word. C, as in cat. Rules Action Alert. Check out that page. It is very important. We're going to have to get busy. If you want to have conservatives and constitutionalists and libertarians, and when I say libertarian, I'm talking about small L libertarians who happen to be libertarian vis-a-vis politics and economics, not full-on Gary Johnsonite psychopath. But, you know, if you want that kind of broad coalition, you want them to have ascendancy in the party, people like Justin Amash, people like Trey Gowdy, people like Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, you're going to have to change these rules. You got to change these damn rules. Your next opportunity is August 14th. Half the committee men are owned by the CLEC. They're going to get paid just like Tex was talking about. Either way, you got to put pressure on the others, which means just hammer all of them. There's only 168 of them. So we're going to be talking about that next week. That's coming up. August 14th is where the meeting starts in Boston. That's a very important thing to do because we've got to – Your only shot is the Republican Party at the federal level. You know, it sucks. I have no love for the Republican Party. I never have. But I, you know, we're about conservatism, and at the federal level, that's your shot. Work your ass off to fix it. Get others involved. That's the important
or
thing.
Or just go on vacation, and Hillary will win, and here we go, round two. It's just mind-boggling. You know, you think this isn't going to be important? It is important, and it's worth the effort. It's not a difficult thing. We're not trying to elect the president or, you know, get rid of Priebus or get everybody to vote Boehner out. It's 168 people who already have a lot of pressure on them because we went through the spring meeting, and they got a little bit of the rules changed, and they realize even with this bull crap and this autopsy report and Priebus in between, you know, hitting the bar and the golf course of Boehner, are realizing that they're up the frickin' crick and they're full of shit. This committee that put together this info on how to save the Republican Party were a bunch of rhinos, a bunch of Romney people, not one, you know, they didn't have any Ron Paul, Newt Gingrich, you know, Bachman, Palin people in there who understood how to win. I.e., did Palin get some stuff done in 2010 or not? You know what I mean? They didn't bring in people who knew how to win, you know, whether it's Newt's background or what Ron Paul had done or Palin. I mean, that would have been all you needed for your consultant party right there. Those three people.
Yep.
How do we save our freaking country? Bring in three of the top people who've done it before. But instead, they put this stupid freaking committee together, a bunch of rhinos, a bunch of consultants, a bunch of lawyers, and a bunch of people failed in the Romney camp. That's really smart, Priebus.
Yep.
And there,
you know, were there drinking that day or that week, that year? You know, and so here's the thing that's important to understand about this. It's only 168 people who are already have a lot of pressure on them, and it isn't about, yeah, you want to be polite, but you don't want to be mealy-mouthed, wishy-washy with these people. You want to ask these people very clearly. Do you want to win or do you want to lose? Because you've already lost millions. You ran off Ron Paul. You ran off a lot of Christians and a lot of conservatives and a lot of libertarians from this party, and you lost, and you're getting ready to lose again. The question is, you're going to pull your heads out of your behind, and I'm saying that with all due respect, and change these frickin' rules or lose it and just fold as a party, because that's all you're going to be is some shell of a consultant group, you know, backing a handful of winners, because you guys are destroying this party. And that's really the bottom line. It doesn't get any and that, I'm being nice, trust me.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that was Chris's nice preview of next week's show, and also probably a little bit of what's going to happen on Robert's show this coming Wednesday. But yeah, this is an important issue. We're going to give you all the details. In the meantime, we've done several shows on this. They are on our Blog Talk Radio page. So just on Blog Talk Radio, find the Tex and Rex show page. Or if you're on Facebook, go to the Tex and Rex show page on Facebook, and that'll have links to the shows as well as a link to the Blog Talk Radio page. And you can listen to these past episodes where we talked about these rules. We talked about what happened at the summer meeting. And you can download MP3s just by right-clicking download below the show link and sharing them with people. It's important. We also appreciate everybody, you know, especially Arlene, for sharing the show. The only reason we have an audience is because you tweet, Facebook post, and tell people about our show. We've got no marketing budget. It costs money to do this. No one's paying us to do this. It's the worst gig I've ever had in my life. But it's important, so we do it, okay? And we need you to spread the word, because if we don't reach millions by 2014, the same crap that's been happening will continue to happen, and we'll run out of time, and the whole thing will collapse. But it can be changed. And these desperate measures that these fools are taking, the reason they go above the law is because it's falling apart around their ears, and more people are waking up. So if you want to fix it, if you want it to change, get people active. You know, the topic of the show tonight was the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. It's an absolute disaster. It's probably going to go off the rails. Parts of it will stick around in some kind of archaic federal bureaucracy, ruining things for a while. But I believe this thing was designed to fail in order to stick a single-payer system. If they control your food and your health and your money and your police force and you've got no guns, it's game over. So that's what this is about. So don't think for a minute this is about ensuring people are uninsured or providing people with health care. Give me a friggin' break. We've done this before without any of this stuff, so it's crap. But the real focus is this is still a republic, even though it's operating like a democracy run by oligarchs. It is still officially a republic. Use the levers of power that are at your disposal as a sovereign citizen of your state, which is part of the Federal Confederation. And let's restore the right rule of law and put everybody under it, including the guys at the top. There are some Republicans now who are actually doing something about this. You can find all the links in Tex and Rex's Liberty Militia and also on our Tex and Rex show page on Facebook. Learn. Get used to the information. Go to Chris's group, Coalition of Freedom. But Representative Marino is starting to put bills in place to investigate these issues, and he's calling for a brainstorming session with former prosecutors to figure out how to actually start prosecuting people. And the fact is that this president, this Senate, this Congress has done things that are prosecutable. But only if you understand what law is. And we've known this for a long time. You can go back to the Roman Republic, Marcus Cicero, okay? And he wrote, "For there is a true law, right reason. It is in conformity with nature, is diffused among all men, and is immutable and eternal. It orders summon to duty. Its prohibitions turn away from offense. To replace it with a contrary law is sacrilege. Failure to apply even one of its provisions is forbidden. No one can abrogate it." It's pretty powerful. That's the foundation of Western civilization, was Hellenistic philosophy and Roman law. And then, you know, here in the, you know, the High Middle Ages, you had St. Thomas Aquinas in his Summa, right? "Human law has the natural law insofar as it partakes of right reason, and it is clear that in this respect it is derived from the eternal law. But in so far as it deviates from reason, it is called an unjust law and has the nature not of law, but of violence. Those are your choices. Positive law that comports with the way the universe works, the way the world works, and the way human nature works. Or violence, which means that whoever has the biggest stick makes the law. Those are your two clear-cut choices. The Constitution was designed by men who had these debates on the very issues that we are discussing. Oh, Rex, that's impossible. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have nuclear missiles. They didn't have post-industrial revolution America. They couldn't have debated these things. They sure as shit did. They debated them in principle, and they put together a document. It's not perfect. It's never going to be perfect. Friggin' utopian Marxists, utopian libertarians, utopian ANCAPs, okay? There's no utopia. It's no such place. It's not going to happen. The Constitution is not designed to be perfect. It's designed to be more perfect, meaning it is trying to move towards perfection with no false, stupid, utopian idea that it's going to be achieved. Remember, this is a document, okay, that in order to get it put together, they have to compromise on something as fundamental and moral as whether someone can own another human being. Remember, the Constitution, when it was first drafted, included legal African slavery. So it was damn near not – it was not perfect at all, especially if you were an African slave. Okay, but it's been fixed since then. It's been fixed. That is no longer part of the Constitution. It has been amended properly through Article 5. Now, there is some debate about the wording and how it happened, and I'm still a little pissed about the military occupation of the South after the war, but that doesn't change the fact that African slavery being in the Constitution is just a blight, and it's horrible, and it's been removed. Okay? So it's not a perfect document, but it's more perfect, and you can fix the parts of it that don't work through the proper amendment process, which is difficult on purpose. Okay? That Constitution is still there. Okay, and they debated all of these issues in principle. Read the Federalist Papers, read the Anti-Federalist Papers, and let's start fixing things. The Fourth Amendment was designed to protect you in your papers. Why? Because everything they had back then was a paper, right? You have everything now more or less electronic, and the NSA has got a copy of it. That's a violation of the Fourth Amendment. That matters. The Fifth Amendment is designed to protect you from loss of life, liberty, or property without due process. You got drones flying over the United States and you're violating posse comitatus, the Fifth Amendment's being violated. The First Amendment's about to be violated in a big way on August 1st when the part of the PACA plan that Obama doesn't want to delay, the contraception mandate, is going to force Christians in their businesses, in their institutions, to violate their conscience against funding contraceptives. Now, you may agree with that, you may not. That's besides the point. That's an issue that can be debated. But the simple fact, if your conscience tells you that that's wrong, you shouldn't be forced to do it. Because guess what, folks? You might think, oh, I don't care. I'm not a Christian, and I don't have a problem with contraception. Okay, if this precedent is set, then the government, taken over by a different group, could compel you the other way next time. How would you atheists, right, and secularists very much like it when the next Southern Baptist president gets up and takes this thing that Obama's about to do and says, you know what? We're going to put you in prison or fine you if you don't go to Southern Baptist Church every Sunday. You're not going to like it very much then. That's effectively what this is. The free exercise of religion is also the guarantee to not exercise a religion if you don't want to, or a different religion. It's a very important thing. It's the principal reason that this country was founded. People came here for religious freedom. So that is the fact that we have these things and the debates were happening shows you how in a true republic – where you retain your right to bear arms in a properly constituted militia, the government is going to be afraid of pissing 300 million people off who might be armed against it. It's just that simple. Learn your Constitution. Put it back in place. It's still officially there. We're just ignoring it. And it's primarily being ignored by your government because you don't know what the hell it means. And I'm talking to you committed, ardent conservatives, as well as some of you libertarians. Let's really have the discussion and understand what these things mean and look at it with the original intent and apply it in practical ways to today. And for the most part, that means undoing what they've been doing for the last 100 years. It's important. It's time. It's way past time to do it. So let's get busy. Let's get it done. Let's make it happen. And let's rip apart this Republican Party in August and fix it so that libertarian and conservative candidates can actually take it over We're about to win. That's why they're scared. This is not the time to give up. When the enemy is taking these extreme measures, it's because you're winning. Don't give up now. It's always darkest before dawn. The shit's going to hit the fan. It'll get worse before it gets better. But if you don't start working for better now, you can forget about a more perfect union. There won't be a union. There'll just be a boot up your ass. Instead, let's put a boot up theirs. Check us out on Facebook. Make sure you tune in next week, 10 p.m. Sunday. Talk about the RNC rules. This is Tex and Rex, signing off.
The flames of liberty will never die.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
It's Schoolhouse Rock, the tip of the block of your favorite schoolhouse, Schoolhouse Rock.
I'm just a bill.
You sure got to climb a lot of steps to get to this Capitol building here in Washington. Well, I wonder who that sad little scrap of paper is.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the capital city. It's a long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee. But I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill.
Gee, Bill, you certainly have a lot of patience and courage.
Well, I got this far. When I started, I wasn't even a bill. I was just an idea. Some folks back home decided they wanted a law passed, so they called their local congressman, and he said, "You're right, there ought to be a law." Then he sat down and wrote me out and introduced me to Congress, and I became a bill. And I'll remain a bill until they decide to make me a law. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I got as far as Capitol Hill. Well, now I'm stuck in committee, and I'll sit here and wait while a few key congressmen discuss and debate whether they should let me be a law. I hope and pray that they will, but today I am still just a bill.
Of the congressmen arguing. Is all that discussion and debate about you?
Yeah, I'm one of the lucky ones. Most bills never even get this far. I hope they decide to report on me favorably, otherwise I may die.
Die?
Yeah, die in committee. Oh, but it looks like I'm going to live. Now I go to the House of Representatives and they vote on me.
If they vote yes, what happens?
Then I go to the Senate and the whole thing starts all over again.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And if they vote for me on Capitol Hill, well, then I'm off to the White House where I'll wait in a line with a lot of other bills for the president to sign. And if he signs me, then I'll be a law. I hope and pray that he will. But today I am still just a bill.
You mean even if the whole Congress says you should be a law, the president can still say no?
Yes, that's called a veto. If the president vetoes me, I have to go back to Congress and they vote on me again, and by that time you're so old.
By that time, it's very unlikely that you become a law. It's not easy to become a law, is it?
No, but how I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill.
He signed your bill, now you're a law.
Oh, yeah.